Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day. They were ready to celebrate to get to the next round in Oakland last night, and the Clippers had a surprise.
Durant has 45. He's at the foul circle. He moves to his right, gives to Iguodala for a three. No. Oh, my. Rebound to Beverly. Listen to the sound of silence. The Clippers are winners in Oakland again. Oh, my goodness. 129-121. This series was taken off the boards in Vegas. It was a 100-1 shot. Who knows how it ends? No one thought they'd win one game. The Clippers pulled to a 3-2 series with their second win in downtown Oakland. Unbelievable.
Now that is not, by the way, Ralph Lawler. Ralph Lawler, though, for 40 years, going back to the San Diego Clippers, has been the play-by-play guy for on TV for the Clippers. He's announced his retirement. Well, every time they do that and win, it extends his career one more day. So that's really cool. All right. If I were to put together a category of guys, I would say awesome announcer, probably an even better guy, Dave Sims would absolutely be on my list. We go back many, many years. We don't see each other very often, but when we do, it's terrific. Dave, it's great to have you with us on the show today.
Steve, thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it, and back at you. I always love hearing, touchdown Penn State! And a Philly guy, that means a lot. Every time I hear it, don't hear it enough, man.
Yeah, don't hear it enough. And, of course, I will. Jack Ham wanted me to pass along my best to you because he always loved working with you.
I love Jack. He was, when I started, the very first NFL game I did on radio, November 1994, San Diego at Kansas City, rainy Sunday morning. Get to the Arrowhead Stadium. It's 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning for like a 12 kick, and it was 40 degrees and raining, and we could barely find a parking spot. And Hammer was great. I worked a lot with him in the afternoons, and then I was very lucky to work with James Lofton for a lot of time. But boy, I mean, two great Hall of Famers, two wonderful guys.
Yeah. Oh, before I get to the Mariners, I've got to ask you about the show you do on Sirius with Coach K, Basketball and Beyond. What does it take to do that show, and what does it take to work with Mike on that show? Because obviously he's trying to coach a team, but then also do a radio show.
Well, he's really good, and he's very media savvy. And you know, what I do is I tee him up. We have an open segment where we talk about his club, what's going on with his team, and then sort of an overview of sports, what's happening. And he follows a lot of stuff. He's a huge Chicago fan. And there's always plenty to talk about. And then once we get into the guests, if some of your listeners are old enough to remember the old Groucho show, I'd do a George Fetterman. I'd tee him up and get out of the way and let him go. Because he has such cachet in the world of sports. And we can get anybody. I mean, we've got all the Super Bowl winners, all the World Series winners. A lot of the prominent players. I mean, LeBron, Kobe, Bryce Harper, who's a huge fan, Mike Trout, who's a huge fan. So we get those guys, and we've had a lot of people. We've had a few politicians and a few, CEOs and that kind of stuff. Yeah, because he's Coach K. I mean, he's the winningest coach in the history of the game, and we're able to get, when you get guys on, it's so funny to hear the Nick Sabans of the world. Oh, what a pleasure it is. It's an honor to talk to Coach K, and we get a heck of a lot of that from coaches in the NFL and the NBA. So it's a blast. It really is. This, we just finished our 14th year earlier this month, and Mike and I go back to late 70s when I was a newspaper guy at the Daily News in New York. And we used to have these weekly basketball luncheons during the season that would turn out to be comedy fest. We'd have Raftery, Jimmy V, P.J. Carlissimo, Tom Penders, Louis Carnesecca. I mean, it was just an all-star cast, and a lot of times I'd come out of there with an empty an empty notebook and a split in my side from laughing so hard. So it was a great way. That's how we met, and you know, we go back 40 plus years.
I have no idea how you got a word in edgewise with that group.
Some good times, man. Good times.
What's interesting, though, because part of the key to broadcasting, and I've told my broadcasting class at Penn State, whether you're doing a game or especially when you're doing an interview, is you have to be a good listener.
Amen.
For you, when you're in the spot, Dave, and he's got Belichick on. I was listening to the show you did with Bill Belichick, or he has a Saban on. Do you find they open up more to him, not just because it's Coach K, but because they live parallel lives and sit in the same seat that they do?
Bullseye, right on point, and that's exactly right. And we get stuff on that show that you don't hear other places. They trust Mike, and when they talk about culture, team culture, building a culture, they talk about the ins and outs, the highs and the lows. I mean, it's talking shop, and who better if you're a coach, and even, you know, as successful as Belichick and Saban are, man, it's great to just sit there and be a fly on the wall and hear these guys talk. I mean, it's stuff that, you know, I would never get, and I think I'm a pretty good interviewer, but it's stuff I wouldn't get that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. I don't think any of us would, because instead of it's on to Cincinnati, Belichick is going to sit there and he's going to say, well, yeah, I can see where you're going with this because I had to do the same thing even though it was football. It's a,
right.
It's a different dynamic when the person asking the question sits in the same chair.
I mean, no question. And we get stuff. You know, you'll get a couple inside nuggets on how they handled certain situations, how they turned a kid around, how they got rid of a kid or a player. It's unique, to say the least.
I want to get to the Mariners because, I mean, you've been doing this now since the mid-2000s in Seattle. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2001, but they got off to a great start, obviously in Japan with what happened with Ichiro. Then when the Red Sox came in, they kept hitting home runs. What's been different about a team in Seattle that said no more Robinson Cano, made other moves along the way, Gene Segura, people like that.
Yep.
And yet they're in this position. Why?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I know I said it, and Scott Service has said it a bunch. It's it's a team of opportunity. You send out all those guys that won 89 games with a horrible run differential, but a team that I thought they'd make a couple of moves, fortify and come back and make one more run and blow it up after this year, but they blow it up after the 18th season. So you bring in a whole bunch of guys looking for chances to prove themselves or rebounding. Jay Bruce coming off of plantar fasciitis in his left foot, a bad hip. Encarnacion getting a little bit of, long in the tooth, still something to prove. And I thought those two guys would get flipped almost immediately, and then spring training didn't happen. Turns out they get off to a great start. So right now, holding pattern for both. Then you get younger kids, Tim Beckham, who finished up strong last September in Baltimore after some rocky times in Tampa Bay. Who else? You got a Santana, Domingo Santana, who got forced out in Milwaukee because of Kane and Yelich. There was no room in the end for him. So, I mean, basically, that's what it's been all about. And then, we got some guys in a bullpen, same kind of thing, a bunch of no-names who are trying to establish themselves, and a couple of starters who probably, Felix is at the end or near the end, and a few other guys who are basically fours and fives, and we have to make them ones and twos, but because the club's hitting so well, we're carrying them.
And the club is hitting well. I remember when I guess it's now T-Mobile Park, it was Safeco, when it first opened, I didn't get the impression it was a great home run hitter's park, yet this team hits home runs. I mean, they hit them. Vogelbach has not eight so far. I mean, you've got guys left and right there. I mean, Haniger's got seven so far. You got, who's got nine here? Jay Bruce has nine. Is it this team, or have the dynamics of the park changed?
Trust me, this is my 13th year. You got to have personnel. If you got the personnel, they'll leave the yard. And Nelson Cruz proved that over the last 4 years, and Robbie Cano. It's all about personnel. I mean, I know Griffey and Jay Buhner are always here. When I got to know those guys, they always said how they liked it when the roof was closed because the ball flew. And Lord knows those guys hit a whole bunch of home runs. But they were that first generation to play in the ballpark, and you don't hear that as much now. In my last few years, But you got to have the personnel. They did move. I think they moved the fence. I forget. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, moved the fence in a few feet. But it's all about personnel. And, you know, weather patterns certainly don't change that much up here. And, you know, weather is spectacular in terms of being hot from usually July 1, 2, 3, 4 into maybe Labor Day. And right now, like I was just checking my finishing up in the gym here, and I'm looking at 55 and sunny. It'll probably be a wet 50, 53 tonight. So if you're going to, you better hit it hard to get it out. But yeah, I don't think it's all about the ballpark. You need personnel. You need the personnel.
I've got to ask you, because you do have the opportunity, because you're in the American League West, to see, for example, Mike Trout a lot. So you get to see him in person.
To death.
When you watch Trout, because you have a great sense for history, Dave. I mean, that's why you're one of the best. You're one of the great all-around guys in every sport. When you see Trout, what are you looking at?
Well, I look at stuff that guys, when I was coming up as a newspaper guy in New York in the mid-70s, that, you know, the old-timers would tell me about, yeah, you should have seen Mantle in 52, 53. Yeah, ran like a deer, strong, good arm. And did everything, and that's Trout. I mean, and I grew up a Willie Mays guy, putting a guy in the same sentence with, you know, Mays and Aaron and Clemente and Mantle. I mean, you got something special. And plus, he's an Eagles fan, so we hit it off immediately. I said, "Dude, I'm from Philly. I hear you're from, you know, you're an Eagle fan, and we've had a very good relationship ever since." And when they were in a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Dude, seriously, you know, the boys were waiting for you in Philly. You and Harp would have been great." And they said, "My wife likes waking up to the sound of the ocean, and so do I." I said, "Damn." But you're still going to be, and he'll still be at the, he'll still, you know, he still has his Eagle tickets. He and Wentz are boys, and Ertz and all those cats. But I was, you know, for my brother and all my boys back in Philly, and you guys in Central Pennsylvania who root for the Phillies, I was just fingers crossed. Go home to Philly. But what, you know, it was interesting. Mark Gubazai's a Philly guy, does their TV, and he said he went to an Eagle game with them, and Mike could barely breathe. I mean, hey, Mike, everybody's pulling at him and tugging at him, and that's not him.
Yeah, no, that's what's interesting about Trout. He's a great star, but as much as you want to market him, he's not comfortable doing it.
And, Steve, I got to tell you, we're getting killed by the NFL. We're getting killed by the NBA. I love Mike to death, but I wish he would, he would do more promotional things. Yeah. And in general, you saw that poll, I guess, last year, year before last, the top, 200, 500 athletes in the world. And the first baseball player that showed up on the list was Jeter at, 124. And, heck, he'd been retired 3-4 years.
Exactly.
We got a problem.
Yeah, no, there is a problem. Now, you're also in a market that right now is the Seahawks and the Seahawks and the Seahawks. All right. But the NBA team's in Oklahoma City. The NHL doesn't start in a couple of years.
Right.
So where do the Mariners fit in all of this? And is there a concern that if the NBA goes to 32 teams, that a Seattle basketball team would pose a big problem?
You know what? We got a hardcore group, and when we win, and the other thing, too, because we got the roof, you know, 81 games are guaranteed. We're destination. You got to remember, we are the team of Alaska, to a slightly lesser extent, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, Montana, and Idaho. You know, land-wise, it's got to be one of the biggest networks in any sport. So, you know, we're going to draw. When the club is playing well, man, I think we were top 10, I think, last year, and top 12 maybe in attendance last year. We can pack it in because people love baseball, but they love, it's a good sports town. It's not to the same level, and here's where my I-95 bias is going to come in, but not quite the same as, you know, as the corridor, the Northeast corridor, but it's pretty doggone good.
I think
the Seahawks have had a lot of run. They've had two Super Bowls. Should have won the second one.
Yeah.
They're big, and they're like in any NFL town. You know, today is, you know, draft night, and that's going to be big.
One last question, then I'll let you go, because I know you've got Texas coming up tonight to start a four-game weekend set. But what has it been like for you where you've been able to settle in? You know, you still do a lot of different sports, but you've been able to settle in, do a baseball team. You've been doing this now for, I don't know, almost 15 years out there, something like that.
It's
what has that been like?
Yeah, 13th year.
What's that been like for you to settle in, and you've locked in on a team?
you know, it's great. I remember when I got the job, and one of the first guys I called was Gary Cohen, who we go way back with, the Mets announcer, and he says, well, you no longer have to helicopter in. You got your own guys. It's true. I mean, I had, for years, I had my own league. I had the Big East for a long time, Big East football, basketball. I had the A-10 for a while. But this is a team in a region, and it's terrific. And I've got the best of both worlds. Baseball season, I'm here. And then season's over, I go back to Manhattan, where I live. And, I get the greatest city in the world and one of the up-and-coming cities, the fastest-growing city probably in the country, Seattle. So it's a good fit. And the other thing, too, I take a lot of pride in being I'm one of two African-Americans calling Major League Baseball on a full-time basis as a lead guy. And I was talking to a couple of guys down at SoCal the other day, and we were going through it, and I realized I'm only like something like the fourth African-American full-time lead play-by-play guy in the major leagues. Bill White, Greg Gumbel, Paul Olden, and me. Now, Kenny Singleton, does mainly analysis, but I carry that as a big responsibility. That's why, like, if you watch our telecast, you'll see me wear my royal blue Jackie Robinson number 42 cap as a reminder of that, and a reminder to myself that I gotta, keep the straight and narrow and always do the best I can to honor the legacy of Mr. Robinson and Mr. Doby and all those guys who broke the barrier back in '47. And Bill White, too, because I talk to Bill every now and then, and I say, I pay tribute to you, big fella, every now and then. Guy hits a ball to left, and I go, deep to left. And that was his call when Bucky did his home run.
Yeah, I know. Darn well I'm a Red Sox fan. I remember Bill White called it perfectly.
Deep to left. Lisprinsky will not get it. I'm a home run for Bucky Bent. Bucky F. Bent in your world.
Yeah. In our world. Well, I'll give you one great story. You probably know it because you mentioned Domingo Santana, for example. In the summer, I do 45, 50 of the State College Spikes games here. They're the affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I have a blast with it. I love it. And so I called, for example, Domingo Santana's first professional home run because he was playing at Williamsport in the Phillies organization at the time. Well, Staten Island, it must have been Staten Island, the Yankees affiliates playing Lowell, the Red Sox affiliate. Mm-hmm. The Lowell pitchers combined to retire the first 26 batters. Guess who broke up the perfect game? Bucky Dent's kid.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's unbelievable. Holy Toledo, that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That is really amazing, Steve. Holy Christ.
Can you imagine that? It's unbelievable. When they told me that, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. of all the people.
That's unreal. Hey, the last time I saw you and Dickie Girardi was at the Garden at NIT, a preseason NIT, about, what, 3-4 years ago, maybe five?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been that long, and I'd seen you in Tucson. It was great
Tucson
to hear.
Tucson at the NCAA.
Yeah, Tucson, the NCAA tournament. Yeah, that was great, man.
Yeah. You are, I realize that it's important for you to carry the banner of 42. I got it. But you know what? You're an example to anybody who broadcasts. And I was telling my class about you the other day because I knew I was going to have you on. That, look, you've got to be able to listen to certain guys that are a pro's pro. You are absolutely one of them. So.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Hey, have a great one. Hopefully, we'll touch base soon.
Phillies next year, and hopefully, I can catch you there. Oh. Maybe catch you in Pittsburgh. We go to Pittsburgh this year.
Oh, you go to Pittsburgh this year? That's awesome. I'll try and work my way down there for that. That'll be great.
In September, it's like a Tuesday. It's like a Tuesday, Wednesday, like the 16th, 17th, 17th, 18th, something like that. Okay. Check it on the schedule.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, got it circled.
I would love to catch up. Hey, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it as always. He is one of the best in the business. And you probably have heard him so many times on this station. He is a pro's pro. But again, he makes a really good point about so few in Major League Baseball African-American play-by-play announcers. Now, Dave's been doing this for 13th season with Seattle. He's great. He's a perfect example of you just want to have great people. Well, he's great people. All right, so September, I got to look at that. I got to get down to Pittsburgh and do that. That would be great. All right, we'll come back more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The other way, that's going to work. Base hit left field. Hannigan touches third. He's going to score. Jay Bruce with a go-ahead RBI. Mariners with an 11-10 lead. Pinch hit RBI, Jay Bruce.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai SUV from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is having their spring SUV sale, where you can save over $5,000. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the 2019 Kona, discounted up to $3,503, starting at $22,435. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 16 2019 Hyundai Tucsons with discounts up to $5,059. An athletic Tucson all-wheel drive starts at $23,105. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Spring SUV Sale is going on now in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. 2019 Santa Fe all-wheel drive start under $25,000, and the Santa Fe XLs start under $29,098. Now is the time to find your next SUV at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Steve Jones inviting you to be part of the 28th Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll kick off the event with a special broadcast on WKOK Tuesday, May 7th, starting at 3 at Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury. Wednesday, May 8th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Golf the four-person scramble and win great prizes. Openings are still available for the morning flight. To sign up your team today and for more information, call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to old friend Dave Sims, the voice of the Seattle Mariners, for being on the show today. Oh, I think that probably will make the best of, don't you think?
Boom.
Shaka-laka.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have Charlie Campbell of Walter Football on today, but he is so booked that we're going to have him do a draft review on Monday. So that's what we've decided to do there.
Yep, he offered that up for us, so we will take advantage of that, yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And looking forward to it. He always gives us great information. So, but the draft is tonight. It's what it's all about for these young people who have gone through it. They've gone through decisions. They've gone through workouts. They've gone through combines. They've gone through interviews. They've taken Wunderlich tests. Some scored 31. Some scored 9.
Runs the gamut.
Well, I decided to take it once, just to see. The first 15 questions are kind of layups. If I'm a May, now this has been like, I don't know, 5 years since I took it.
How many questions were there total?
50, I think.
How long did it take 50. To take it?
Oh, me, that didn't take long. No, it didn't take that long. Bang, 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 just go. No, it didn't take that long.
Kind of the theme to the first hour of the show today is, you know, don't overthink it. So that was one of those deals.
You just kind of took it up. I got 44. That's not bad. You don't seem to believe me. So
No.
You seem shocked.
No, not at all.
Sue took him, was hoping that they gave him credit for name.
I mean, dreaming like, of a 44.
It's like, you know, I get 2 points for name, first and last. Right? it's
like the SATs in high school, they gave you at least a little bit.
What'd they give you, 200?
Oh, God, if that's the case. Oh, man.
I mean, did they give you 100 on each side, 100 on math, 100 on... I don't know.
My SAT score, I want to say, was like 680 or 690. It was putrid. Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, okay.
But that was 36 years ago, so.
Yeah, look where you are now.
Didn't let it faze me one bit.
I mean, you go into the conference room for the staff meeting. You know, you're just as smart, if not smarter, than at least one or two.
iPhone in one hand and coffee cup in the other. Let's get it done. What are we going to talk about? What's next?
One time, and I was coaching. I was coaching Babe Ruth baseball, and I was coaching 14 and 15 year olds. And this kid on the other team, who by the way is a good kid, so please, this is not. But he had a home run. He got a little exuberant. He got to within 5 feet of home plate. Then he tippy toed his way to the plate, and he slammed his foot down and like pointed at our bench. So the game's over, and I said to him, I said, "Hey Scott, can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "You're a great kid, great family, the whole thing." I said, "And I understand the excitement. I don't blame you at all." I said, "But I want you to remember something. It does not matter in life where you are when you're 15. It matters where you are when you're 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75. That's where it matters. It doesn't matter where you are when you're 15. So it doesn't matter where you are when you take your SATs. Like, look where you are now. Homeowner. Doing great, on-air exemplary, awesome to work with, makes this show work. I mean, makes this show work, because I can tell you right now who doesn't make it work. You make it work. Right? And then you sit in the staff meeting, you listen to some digital nonsense, and then you go on.
Well, speaking of digital, we now have a new and improved Sunbury Broadcasting app. It has been unveiled. So if you're listening, and if you have our old app, delete it and get our new one. We have a link at WKOK.com. Take you right to Google Play or the Apple App Store. So you can get our brand new app, better sound, better looking app, easy to navigate. Also has a built-in alarm, so you can wake up to WKOK if you want in the morning. Wake up to sunrise. And you get access to our Facebook and Twitter right built into the app for all five of our stations. So we're really excited about it.
I have to let Gary Goloszewski know that.
There you go.
Now, I tell you the story about Jack Goloszewski, his son. Jack is 7. Okay, Jack's 7 years old. About as... he is just... like, he walks in the room, everybody smiles. He's just that kind of kid. So for the blue-white game, Gary always is on the other side. He never is on our side. But it turned out for the blue-white game, he came over to our side. Tom McGrath said, "Hey, come on, why don't you come over to our side? Be deal, join Julie and me, whatever." Well, suddenly I turn around in the booth, and there's Jack with his Penn State jersey on. Well, the number he obviously this was picked out randomly. Little Jack is wearing number 21, Noah Kane's number. I said the guy rips off a couple of runs in the blue-white game. I said, now his jersey's a big item. And Jack Ham looks back and he touches the number of the jersey. Says, "And the number is still wet." So, and you know, and Gary's like, he's like, he just picked it out this morning and put it on, just turned on. No, and we knew that already. It made for a funny moment on the broadcast. Let's, you know, we have never been accused of not having fun. We've never been accused of that. All right, so the draft is tonight. Steelers draft 20. Adam Schefter has been reporting that the Steelers quite possibly could move up to 10.
That's the burning question. Which team is going to make the splash move tonight? That's going to be the wow factor of the opening round.
You know what?
Will it be the Redskins?
I think the Redskins are going to attempt to, because I think that the Redskins really do want Dwayne Haskins. They really do want Dwayne Haskins. So how do you do it? Well, right now they're already drafting at 15, correct? They're drafting at 15. Is that where they are? Which means they are two picks in front of the Giants. Yeah, they're 15. They're two picks in front of the Giants because I think the Giants are going defense with their first pick. And if they're going defense with their first pick, I think the door does open for the Redskins to hang at 15 unless somebody else moves up. If somebody else moves up, then I can see the Redskins maybe moving up.
So is David Gettleman absolutely confident if they go defense in their first pick, will the quarterback they covet be there at 16?
You know, I don't even know they're going to go a quarterback. It's actually 17. That's
17, I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm not even sure he's going quarterback at 17. You know, I have become a big believer, unless you're in the one hole or the two hole, that once you get past five, you start picking the best player available.
Carolina drafting at 16, in between Washington and the Giants.
And they won't pick a quarterback?
No.
Let's see here. Who would? Cardinals, of course, will. Niners have Garoppolo. Darnold with the Jets. You don't know what the Raiders are going to do. Okay, so you don't know what the Raiders are going to do. They're at four. And they got three picks in the first round. Tampa Bay won't. Giants at six won't. Jacksonville with Nick Foles won't. Stafford, Detroit. You already picked Josh Allen in Buffalo. Denver's a possibility, even though they've got Joe Flacco. Cincinnati's a possibility. Green Bay, no. Miami. A lot of people in Miami forgot they have a team. Atlanta won't. And then the Redskins. So there are some doors open for quarterback possibilities before the Redskins pick at 15. I think the Redskins, I agree with you, become the pivotal team in the opening round, and the potential to try to move up to get to their guy. Let's see, the Raiders pick again at 24. That's for Khalil Mack. And they pick again at 27 for Amari Cooper. Green Bay has two picks. They pick again at 30. Patriots pick at 32. Interesting. Well, I wonder why that happened. Oh, sorry. Then there's your team at 20.
Why do I have a feeling the Patriots will draft down and not take anyone at 32 tonight? They've been known to do that before in the past.
Well, again, they've got the six picks between 32 and 101. They have flexibility beyond flexibility. The Steelers, by the way, will draft 20, 52. Let's see, 66, 83. The Steelers have a lot of picks here. They have three picks in round six. They'll be very active on Saturday. And they also have the third pick of the fifth round. They have the third pick of the fifth round. Interesting.
So here we go. Got one for you. Since you had a chance to see this player in the bowl game, which do you think is the best defensive player in the draft, Nick Bosa or Josh Allen?
Nick Bosa won. Josh Allen just behind him. When Nick Bosa played, he was a dominant player. I think Josh Allen, to his credit, has a little more speed off the edge. His length is really impressive. I think that one of the pivotal plays in the Citrus Bowl was actually the field goal he got a hand on at the end of the first half. He's the one that got a hand on it. But Bosa's probably a better against the run than Josh Allen is, so there's the separator. But you're talking about the separator is me holding my hands 2 feet apart. That's how close they are. So if you don't get Nick Bosa, if I'm picking at two for the 49ers, I pick Bosa. If I'm the Giants at six and Josh Allen's there, I'm not crying saying, geez, it's too bad we didn't get Nick Bosa. And you know what my old saying is when it comes to stuff like this. Never, never, never worry about who you don't have. Only worry about who you do have. Another saying that the suit hated.
Oh, I worry about everything.
The guy that is a mystery of the Penn State guys in this draft to me is Amani. You know, Amani was highly thought of coming out. Now I'm looking at these top 100s, you know, from NFL, you know, CBSSports.com, Sports Illustrated, ESPN. And then we talked to the guy from Pro Football Focus yesterday.
Yeah, Austin Gale. And
he has him at 35.
Yeah, check that out on our podcast. You want to catch that before the draft tonight. iTunes, Google Play, Steve Jones Show. Hit that up. Hour two of Wednesday's show.
The college basketball trial. This was not the day that Duke was hoping for. Here's the story from Matt Norlander from CBSSports.com. The most explosive day yet of the second college basketball corruption trial brought about the allegation on top of allegation, looping in the biggest schools and coaches in the sport. And yes, once again, Zion Williamson. Federal prosecutors continue to show video wiretaps, some conversations that include multiple separate meetups with assistant coaches in a suite at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas in late July 2017. Assistant coaches from USC, Tony Bland, Preston Murphy of Creighton, TCU's Corey Baker were shown accepting $13,000, $6,000, and $6,000 respectively. The video was buttressed by testimony of Marty Blazer, who was in the room when the money swapped hands. In Bland's video, he discussed the importance of recruiting then number one prospect Marvin Bagley III, who USC was trying to lure to campus. Tony needed money to get Marvin, key government witness said. Blazer has cooperated with the government after pleading guilty to siphoning more than $2.3 million from clients, many of whom were professional athletes. Now, again, that's that SEC violation stuff. He wasn't going to go to UCLA. He wasn't going to go to UCLA or go to Duke, Blazer said. Tony was confident he had Marvin Bagley locked in at USC. When Marvin Bagley signs with USC, I need you guys on campus the moment he signs. Be ready to get to him as soon as possible. On a wiretap conversation, Bland says of the recruitment of Bagley and potential working relationship with Dawkins and Blazer, Christian Dawkins, they're not going anywhere. If he's at USC, you will meet him the first day on campus. This is the type of dude that you get him, everybody will follow. Bagley eventually signed with Duke, played one season, went to the NBA draft. Another wiretap. Vegas 2017 was played that showed current Clemson assistant basketball coach Steve Smith talking to Christian Dawkins, Marty Blazer, and an undercover FBI agent about the recruitment and potential payments to be made to Zion Williamson's family. Smith references how familiar he was with Williamson and his location to the point that he knew the exact time it took to get from Clemson's arena to the Williamson house, 1 hour and 4 minutes. As Smith discusses the recruitment, Dawkins interjects, Duke is going to have their resources. UNC is UNC. Kentucky is going to have their resources. All three schools were recruiting Williamson at the time. Under oath, Blazer said he understood Dawkins to be saying that Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky will have people in place to pay whatever necessary for Zion Williamson. Whatever Zion Williamson's family needed, we would be able to step in and help with the money if it was close. The recruitment of Williamson came into question in the first trial after testimony brought forth allegations that Kansas was willing to engage in discussions around Williamson and his family. He has since declared for the NBA draft. But the fact that Williamson and Bagley's recruitments were discussed in such dirty terms, only to see both players land at Duke, is a noise-making day for college basketball and for Mike Krzyzewski's program. But again, where's the mention of Mike Krzyzewski in all this? He's not mentioned in this, nor is a Duke assistant. Now, resources are mentioned. In some form or fashion, Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, Kentucky, and all the schools are doing something to help kids, Merle Code said. He's the other person here in trial. On the video, and later adds, it's a mess because there's so much money involved. Kentucky and Oregon, two of the most powerful Nike programs in the sport, were referenced as well. So if I let a kid go to Kentucky, I promise you I won't get him back, Coach says. If I let Brian Bowen was going to Oregon, and I was like, he is not going to go to Oregon, not getting him back. Coach says Bowen's offer to go to Oregon was astronomical. I said he is not going. Bowen wound up at Louisville. Crazy day. A lot of names. A lot of insinuation. Kind of sounds like it's a talk show. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay. Here's the other part of the testimony. Marty Blaser yielded new allegations, including the description of going to a store in Las Vegas to buy a pair of shoes with money from an undercover FBI agent, into which Blaser said aspiring business manager Christian Dawkins would stuff $11,000 and FedEx them to Texas A&M player Robert Williams, who Blaser said Dawkins had been paying. And, of course, I saw Williams put on, by the way, an NBA performance against Penn State a year and a half ago in Brooklyn. He'd really been okay to that point against Penn State. Like, holy mackerel. He ended up being a first-round pick of the Celtics. So there you go. Another eventful day. Remember what I said Monday when they were talking about Aaron Maben?
Right.
I said that will be quickly forgotten in this trial. Well, here it is Thursday. It's been quickly forgotten.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.